Dr. Vitti, two Duval County Public Schools, middle schools, are going to be offering some new programs in this regard. Eugene Butler Middle will now be known as the Leadership Schools at Eugene Butler. And then also Stillwell Middle has become Joseph Stillwell Military Academy of Leadership. That's a military magnet. Both of these will divide the kids into two houses, boys and girls. Single gender ed, why go in this direction in two public schools?
Well, first of all, it's clear that at the middle school level, we need to do things differently for our students, especially offering options to parents. We're, for the most part, seeing through our surveys and even anecdotally and statistically that parents are relatively satisfied with our elementary schools, but we're seeing that we lose a lot of our parents as they transition from fifth grade to sixth grade. And then interestingly enough, many come back to us in ninth grade through our high schools. So we do have to think more innovatively and out of the box with programming that we offer to our parents and students. And the single gender approach has been effective based on research internationally, nationally, and even here in Florida, especially for students that are considered at risk, that are growing up in poverty or significantly under grade level.
What does the data show?
Well, the data shows that a couple things, that girls in a single gender classroom are more likely to participate in class. Boys are more likely academically to do better. So are girls. But more than anything else, it creates a space to where teenagers who are often obsessed and self-conscious about being smart, especially at the middle school and high school level, have the opportunity to demonstrate what they're really thinking and feeling. And feeling is an important component, too, because a lot of times in the classroom, boys are not apt to discuss things in class, and girls are not as well in order not to look smart. And although the single gender approach isn't the right approach for all teenagers, it's just offering another option on the menu of educational choices, especially at the middle school level, where we have seen a lot of our students and parents opt out.
And you feel this is necessary to keep more middle school students in the public school system. When parents pull their kids into private or charter schools, the local public system loses that tax base.
Correct. I mean, that's certainly part of it. And then specifically to Butler. Butler, over the last 13 years, has been considered a low-performing school for about 11 of those 13 years. So we're not offering the right kind of educational environment for our children consistently at Butler. And this process was one where we engaged the community often. Dr. Hall, who is the board member of that area, and I had a meeting with some local stakeholders, and it was clearly recognized that we needed to do something differently. And when we offered this as a solution, it was well received. We had quite a few community meetings, and as I presented the idea, we received positive feedback from the parents that whose children already go to Butler, or whose children may be sending their children to Butler. So statistically, we've seen here in Florida, I was part of creating a single gender approach in Miami with a K-12 for both boys and girls. Historically,
how'd that work out?
Very well. Both schools were majority African American and free and reduced lunch. And both of those schools are A's, consistently A's and B's. In fact, the girls' school is considered one of the highest-ranked high schools in the country.
And if you're just joining the program, right now in studio, we're speaking with Duval County School Superintendent Nicolai Vitti about two new middle schools this fall in Jacksonville that will offer single-gender education, separating the boys and the girls. We want your calls and questions right now. And if you just want to talk about schools in general, now's the time to call in. We'll go to the phones in just a few minutes at 549-2937. Give us a call. Now, the ACLU has filed a complaint against single gender education in Tampa, citing violations of Title IX, issues like that. Are you concerned at all that there could be blowback here in Jacksonville over this?
Well, one thing that I've learned over the past year and a half is when you do things differently, you're going to get pushback. I think in this instance, we may see some pushback. I actually had an opportunity to visit this school in Tampa, both schools are doing very well. And in fact, one of our new principals for the girls' school at Butler also was able to visit the school in Tampa and thought that the educational opportunity was outstanding. And so I think sometimes you have to do things differently to get different results. And we're ready for the pushback if that comes, and we'll follow up accordingly, legally, if that's the case. But it's always interesting to me to hear the critique of single gender, because single gender has been part of the American landscape for years, especially for those that often come from higher socioeconomic backgrounds. And I think the single gender approach, again, shouldn't be considered a one-size-fits-all approach. It's not even to suggest that boys can't learn with girls and girls can't learn with boys. Instead, it's just a double option for maybe girls that are struggling, or boys that are struggling, or maybe they're not struggling. They just feel like they'll be able to excel better in an environment that separates the two. If you look at, especially in the African-American community, you look at schools that have historically done very well. Morehouse, Spelman have been both schools that have excelled and created future leaders. So we shouldn't be afraid to use models that have worked, especially at the college level, and bring it down to the high school and middle school level. And I can tell you, this year we implemented some single gender classrooms, not only at Butler, but other schools throughout the county. And when I visited those schools and I sat down and talked to the kids, they really appreciated it. Some felt that the right approach was only one class. Others said that they would be willing to go have all their classes in a single gender format. But we shouldn't be afraid to offer options. And I would feel uncomfortable, and I think we would have a problem legally if we forced this upon students. And that's not what we're doing. We're creating two schools, and the Stillwell school has a military focus. It won't it will not be single gender. But the one at Butler, it's two schools within one building, starting at the same time. Both have a principal, both have an assistant principal. They'll have one-to-one devices, meaning they'll have their own laptop, or two-to-one. It's a fully wireless school. And we're building the school at the same time, so it'll certainly be equal and non-discriminatory. It's not an alternative school, but it's about offering another option for children.
And as more options like this pop up, in particular, I'm thinking of the Valor and Virtue Academies in Jacksonville that will be single gender, primarily serving African-American boys and girls. Do you feel you have to compete now with those options?
Well, I think it does allow us to compete, but the idea behind the single gender school was not a response to the valor and virtue schools. I think those two schools in concept offer the right kind of approach for children. Obviously, we're doing something similar, but it wasn't in a response to that. In fact, when I came in town as superintendent, and I learned about the idea, I did reach out to Mr. Warren, Cleve Warren. I thought it was a good idea. I support the concept, and I hope all students can be in an environment where they can excel, whether it's charter or non-charter. But we are competitive, and we look forward to demonstrating that we can offer a better program through traditional public education.
And lots of calls, meanwhile, for Duval County School Superintendent Nico Livedi about single-gender classrooms coming this fall at a couple of local middle schools. What are your thoughts? What are your questions? Get on the lines, 549-2937, to join the show this morning. Dee in Jacksonville is with us. Hi, Dee. You're on the air.
Hi,
good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Great,
good
thanks.
Dr. Vitti, I just have a couple of questions. My granddaughter attends one of the A schools over in San Marco area, and it seems that as if there's like a – I'm quite active in her education, and when I'm there, I have been informed of family members working together in one school, and I just want to know what's your policy on nepotism in the school systems are, and how other teachers from the not so great schools, like maybe the lower grade schools, would have the opportunity to teach at these A schools that have their family members working with them.
Question about nepotism. Okay. Yeah, and that's Dee in Jacksonville. Thanks for the call, Dee.
Well, we do have very clear policies, board policies that prevent your supervisor to be related to you. One challenge is that you want the best and the brightest to be in your school system, and oftentimes education is something that is shared from generation to generation, and it's a part of a spirit of service. So it's not uncommon to have husbands and wives and partners and sisters, brothers, uncles, aunts, all in the same school system because, again, it's part of the culture, it's part of service. So we do have quite a few relatives within the school system, but we do not make decisions based on relationships or individuals being related to one another. If I think I heard the latter part of the question, and we do allow and we are excited about offering new opportunities for our proven high-performing teachers to relocate to our lower-performing schools. We are offering high financial incentives up to $17,000 this next year and in the coming years in order to attract higher-performing teachers, if you will, who are proven through data to move to low-performing schools. And that's regardless of relationships, just based on data.
549-2937. Martin in Jacksonville Beach is on the line. Hi, Martin. Good morning. Thanks for calling in this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having the program. Dr. Vitti, thank you for your work here and in New York. As a transplant from New York down here to Jacks Beach, I'm really excited about the idea of having, the genders, educated individually. But my concern is about the economics with limited resources and cutbacks and educational funding and reduced fine arts, exposure. How are you going to be able to maintain a higher level of education with separate but equal facilities? Thank you. I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you for the question, Martin, out at the beaches.
Well, that's certainly the challenge. I think we all in Duval County have to rally behind public education, especially the funding of public education. Florida has historically been at the bottom when it comes to pure pupil funding throughout the country, and we do have to hold our legislators accountable to not only increasing accountability, which is needed, but we also need funding to go along with supporting that accountability. When it comes to our school system, we've made difficult decisions over the past 2 years in order to protect the arts. We've actually expanded the arts over the last 2 years, even in hard economic times. We have a music and art program in every elementary school. We've developed a music or an art program in every middle school now. And most of our high schools have very strong, at least a strong music or art program. And we obviously have in La Villa and DA nationally recognized art programs. So as we move forward, as I've been saying, if in my mind, an art and a music program is no difference when it comes to importance as a reading or a math program. And I am that passionate about that fact. And I think when we go through more difficult budget situations, if revenue decreases or enrollment decreases, we'll make decisions based on what's best for children. And I think what's best for children is a solid art and music program in every school throughout the country. And it's just a matter of continuing to make those difficult decisions and then having the community support those.
We'll go back to your calls in just a moment. The number 549-2937. And as you talk about funding challenges, here's an email from a listener. The DTU, that's the Duval Teachers Union, is reporting 700 Jacksonville teachers have been surplused, an unprecedented amount. Will they have positions this fall, and will Teach for America members be placed in classrooms before they are?
Yeah, I think we have to get over this idea of union teachers, Teach for America teachers. They're all teachers, and they all serve our children. We do have a lot of teachers that are surplus. Our enrollment is declining, as I've been talking about for some time, due to charter enrollment. And this process happens every year. We have not quite 700. I don't know where that number is coming from, but we do have, over the past 5 years, we've had as many as 500 to 550 to as low as 250 teachers surplus. Then what happens is, based on the contract, which we have to follow, more veteran teachers are placed to those open positions throughout the county, and then we hire new teachers. Some of the new teachers that we hired are Teach for America teachers that work in our hard-to-staff, traditionally lower-performing schools, because unfortunately we don't have a line of teachers waiting and ready to teach in our hard-to-staff schools. So at the end of the year, I do believe that we'll arrive to a point where all of our surplus are placed and we'll have to hire some new teachers, usually again in our hard-to-staff school, mainly in math and science at the secondary level.
All right, lots of calls. Meanwhile, let's go back to your calls about single-gender ed, 549-2937. We'll get your social media feedback on in just a minute as well. Ira in Atlantic Beach is with us. Ira, happy Monday. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Melissa. Great show. Dr. Vitti, thanks for your leadership. I'm a U.S. Army Airborne retired, so I have three quick questions. One, is there a reform school within the Duval County system where a troubled or troubling student can be resident put and taught in a resident environment in a reform or a detention setting? Two, is there any effort to triage the classroom so that the lower quartile students are all together, the middle quartile and the higher quartile have a teacher all by themselves so that they can perform to their level of excellence? And lastly, because I've traveled all over the world in the Army, is there any concept or thoughts of having a boarding school concept for students whose parents can't parent, but to give them a quality education? So go to a residential, on-site, on-campus boarding school concept. Thank you very much. I'll take my answers off the air.
Thanks for the call, Ira.
Very good points. I've always thought about a boarding or residential type school. There's no question that our educators do some great things with children throughout the day, but then if they're not going to an environment where that's continuing to be supported, we lose some of the gains that we make either day-to-day or they're over the summer. I would be very interested in exploring a border school type of concept or residential type program for our most at-risk students. There have been some just very theoretical conversations about doing that. It was something that we even explored in Miami, but I would be interested in doing that. It probably would take some private dollars to be raised to do that, but I am open to that. We do not currently have a residential program to answer your first question, even for our at-risk students. We do have more residential programs for those that are incarcerated, but that's a little bit different than I think what you're talking about. And then tiering students is something that we do starting in elementary school, often with students that are considered gifted. They're more homogeneously grouped. And then as we move into middle school, there are requirements when students that are below grade level, they take extra classes to be homogeneously grouped. And then within classrooms, today's teachers are differentiating even within a classroom with those that are above grade level and those that are below grade level by working with them in smaller groups. So those teachers that are really moving forward regarding disaggregating data and making the learning experience more individualized, you will see that kind of differentiation and tiering within classrooms.
Calls from across the listening area for Superintendent Vitti. Let's go to Gary in Arlington. Hey, Gary, thanks for holding. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
All right, thanks.
Well, I have a kind of a comment being a person that went to a Catholic grade school through the eighth grade. Then I went to a Catholic high school through four, and this is Louisville, Kentucky, and it was single gender. And I believe that the schools you're talking about are middle schools, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I think in that period of time, when they're both physically and biologically changing, I think a lot of times that puts a lot of stress on them trying to pay attention to what they're doing. And by separating them, it allows them to focus at this essential time in their life to focus on their studies. I believe it's a great idea, especially if this is a test situation that will go on further to maybe be further developed. Because my son is coming out of the Montessori school off of Hodges, and we decided to go ahead and send him to a Catholic school in the fall, because both she, my wife and I, both were had Catholic education, private school education, and we felt that we got essentially a better education bang for the dollar. So I think it's a great idea to, I think discipline is also the other portion of it. And by separating the genders, you have a chance for better disciplinary ideas to help these kids through this most difficult time of their life.
That's Gary in Arlington. Thanks for the call, Gary. He's a fan. Let me get a little bit of feedback. We're getting sort of a mixed bag of feedback on, coming in on email and Twitter. BJ emails the show, "I'm from India, where single-gender schools are common. The only problem is that boys enter the workforce thinking that the women in the workforce are a distraction." Paula emails the show, "It's probably better for girls than it is for boys. They get a chance to express themselves and speak up in class without being talked over. Teachers won't exercise the unconscious gender bias that generally causes them to call on boys more. However, on the other side of it, girls have a civilizing effect in the classroom, and both genders will have to deal with each other at some point." And then here's an interesting email from a listener. Some are concerned that a lack of exposure to the opposite sex during formative years may lead to boys seeing girls as mere objects. As rape culture on college campuses becomes more of a problem, could there be a correlation between that and this lack of understanding and empathy between the sexes that could stem from a lack of exposure to girls early in life? Lots of feedback on this.
Well, everyone has an opinion, and that's why it's great to have these conversations. But I would say it's not as if we're quarantining these students from the rest of society. They still get on the bus with students of a different gender. They're growing up in communities. They're walking home. They go out on the weekends and after school. All of that will continue. In fact, for the Butler School, the students are going to school in the same building. They'll just be on different floors. They may have lunch together, depending on how we structure the schedules. They may even have elective classes together. And in addition, we'll do many of the things that single gender schools have historically done, where we'll have dances after school. We'll have functions after school where both genders will be together so that they are still interacting with each other. But the day-to-day experience of interacting with a different gender still is alive and well in the community and won't be negated by the school. I just think it creates a new culture. Our kids will be in college prep type of uniforms.
At both schools.
With a leadership focus, obviously, as I mentioned, there's already an infusion of technology. The school is wireless. They already have the laptops at the school. And at the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade level, there will be different what we call wheels of leadership opportunities. And we've already reached out to local fraternities and sororities as mentors. We'll have speakers coming to the school to talk about leadership development. Again, it's about doing things differently to have different results, and I think it's important to listen to the kids themselves. As I already mentioned, when you talk to them, they appreciate having that space just to be with peers of the same gender, because it does allow them to be more intellectually curious. It allows them to take more risks in the classroom, and they're not as prone to be teased or made fun of because they're smart or asking a simple question that they may not ask with the other gender there, and both appreciate it, and I think that's important. It's not for everyone, but it's about offering something different for our kids.
Something different coming this fall in two middle schools in Duval County. Superintendent Vitti, always great to have you on the program. Hope you'll come back soon. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.